بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمستمعين والمسلمين وللشيخ الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد، باب قول الله تعالى: ألم تر إلى الذين يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا. وإذا قيل لهم تعالوا إلى ما أنزل الله وإلى الرسول رأيت المنافقين يصدون عنك صدودا، فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أردنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا. وقوله: وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. وقوله: ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين. وقوله: أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون ومن أحسن من الله حكما لقوم يوقنون. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون حظاه تبعا لما جئت به. قال النووي رحمه الله تعالى: حديث صحيح رويناه في كتاب الحجة بإسناد صحيح. وعن الشعبي رحمه الله تعالى: كان بين رجل من المنافقين ورجل من اليهود خصومة، فقال اليهودي: نتحاكم إلى محمد لأنه عرف أنه لا يأخذ الرشوة. وقال المنافق: نتحاكم إلى اليهود لعلمه أنهم يأخذون الرشوة. فاتفقا أن يأتي كاهنا في جحينة فيتحاكما إليه، فنزلت: ألم تر إلى الذين يزعمون الآية. وقيل: نزلت في رجلين اقتسما، فقال أحدهما: نترافع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقال الآخر: إلى كعب بن الأشرف. ثم ترافع إلى عمر فذكر له أحدهما القصة، فقال للذي لم يرضى برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكذلك؟ قال: نعم. فضربه بالسيف فقتله. فيه مسائل: الأولى تفسير آية النساء وما فيها من الإعانة على فهم الطاغوت. الثانية تفسير آية البقرة وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض. الثالثة تفسير آية الأعراف ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها. الرابعة تفسير أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون. الخامسة ما قاله الشعبي في سبب نزول الآية الأولى. السادسة تفسير الإيمان الصادق والكاذب. السابعة قصة عمر مع المنافق. الثامنة كون الإيمان لا يحصل لأحد حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جاء به رسول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، أرسله رحمة للعالمين فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد الذين آزروه ونصروه وحملوا رايته وجاهدوا معه وبلغوا الدعوة أيضا بعده. فنسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلنا جميعا من محبيهم ومتبعيهم، إنه جواد كريم. يقول شيخ الإسلام في هذا الباب: باب قول الله تعالى: ألم تر إلى الذين يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا. هؤلاء المنافقون يقولون لمحمد آمنا بك يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك. وهؤلاء من اليهود الذين جاءوا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريدون أن يفسدوا على الناس الدعوة، يقولون لهم آمنوا بمحمد إذا جئتموا به ثم اكفروا به إذا خرجتم حتى يشك الناس في دعوته. يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك، يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت. لما تكون لهم خصومة ومحاكمة لا يرضون أن يتحاكموا إلى محمد، لعلمهم أن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يعدل ولا يقبل الرشاء أي الرشوة، فيذهبون إلى من يطمعون في أن يرشوه ليحكم لهم بالباطل، مع أنهم أمروا أن يكفروا بالطاغوت. فالطاغوت كل ما عبد من دون الله، والطاغوت أيضا من حكم بغير شرع الله. الله جل وعلا أمرهم أن يكفروا بالطاغوت، لكن الشيطان يغويهم ويغريهم ويريد أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا. وإذا قيل لهم تعالوا إلى ما أنزل الله وإلى الرسول، قام المنافقون صدوا صدودا، ليس مجرد صد وإنما صدوا صدودا مبالغا فيه لكراهيتهم لهذا الدين. فهم يريدون أن ويريد الشيطان يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا. وإذا قيل لهم تعالوا إلى رأيت المنافقين يصدون عنك صدوقا، لا، فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة؟ يعني ما هي حالهم عندما تحل بهم كارثة وتنزل بهم بلية ويعلمون أنه لا من جاء لهم إلا بالله؟ ماذا يكونون؟ قد أفسدوا ما كان بينهم وبين الله. فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أردنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا؟ يحلفون كما قال المنافقون في غزوة تبوك إننا ما قلنا شيء إلا من أجل أن نقطع الطريق وإلا فنحن مؤمنون. فالله أكذبهم وكذبهم وبين أنهم كاذبين، ولذلك نزل في حقهم قل لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إسلامكم. الآية الأخرى وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. هكذا دعاة الباطل يزعمون في غيهم وضلالهم وما يقومون به ويدافعون عنه أنهم يريدون إصلاح الأرض، إصلاحها من الفساد والظلم والعدوان، والله يكذبهم. بين عنهم إذا قيل لهم قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون، على إنهم مفسدون ولكن لا يعلمون. نعم الآية قوله ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها، يعني الأرض صلحت بالدعوة لما بعث الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وسار الناس السيرة الصحيحة في عبادة الله ودعوة الناس إلى عبادة الله وحده. وأمرهم الله جل وعلا أن يكفوا عما هم فيه من ضلال وأن يدعوا ربهم خوفا وطمعا. لا بد من أن يدعوه في حال خوف من ذنوبهم وفي حال أيضا طمعا بعفوه ومغفرته، لأن الإنسان إذا اجتمع له الخوف والرجاء والطمع حمله الرجاء على العمل الصالح وحمله الخوف على التوبة من الذنوب والبعد عنها، وإنما ينتفع بذلك أهل الإيمان. يقول إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين، المحسنون الذين يعملون الصالحات، الذين قال جبريل عنهم وقد سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على الإحسان، قال الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. يقول الله جل وعلا: أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون. حكم الجاهلية هو الضلال المبين، ومن أحسن من الله حكما لقوم يبغون. الله جل وعلا هو أرحم الراحمين وأحكم الأحكمين، العالم بما ينفع الخلق، والعالم بما يضرهم فهو يدعوهم للاستنابة. أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون. هؤلاء المنافقون ومتجبرة اليهود الذين يقولون للناس آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون، يريدون أن يشكك في الناس. وكما مر لما سألتهم قريش أينا أعدل وأولى بالحق، وهم يعلمون أن قريش على الباطل، قالوا نعم أنتم أعدل من محمد. يقول عن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون تمام تبعا لما جئت به. قال النووي: حديث صحيح، رويناه في كتاب الحجة بإسناد صحيح. هكذا يقول. هذا الحديث معناه صحيح، لا يكون الإنسان مؤمن حتى يتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن الإيمان تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله، ولا بد من الإيمان بمحمد وبجميع الرسل. ولو آمن إنسان بمحمد وكفر ببقية الأنبياء ما نفعه إيمان، لأن محمدا أخبر أن جميع الأنبياء كانوا على الحق. فهذا الحديث قال لو إنه صحيح، وقال غيره أنه ليس جيد من حيث السند، لكن معناه صحيح، لا يكون الواحد مؤمنا حتى يتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله يقول: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم. يعني لا سبيل إلى محبة الله إلا بالإيمان، ولا إيمان إلا باتباع محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول الشعبي: كان بين رجل من المنافقين ورجل من اليهود خصومة، يعني في المدينة. اليهودي يعرف أن محمدا لا يأخذ رشوة، فهو يريد أن يتحاكم إلى النبي. المنافق لا يريد التحاكم إلى رسول الله، وإن كان يظهر الإسلام لكن حقيقته أنه غير مسلم. قال: لا، نتحاكم إلى اليهود. ثم اتفق إلى أن يذهب إلى كاهن، وكانت العرب عندهم كهنة يحكمونهم في مشاكلهم ويعظمون الكاهن الذي يحكم بين الناس، وهو إنما يحكم بالباطل. تحاكم إليه فنزلت: لا، لم تر إلى الذين يزعمون أنه آمن منزلكم من قبل فيريدون يتحاكم إلى آخره. يقول المؤلف رحمة الله: وقيل إنها نزلت في الذين اختصما إلى عمر، أحدهما قال: نترافع إلى محمد، وقال الآخر: لا، إلى كعب ابن الأشرف من سادات اليهود والتجار. ثم ما تم لهم الترافع إلى كعب ولا إلى رسول الله، فتحاكم إلى عمر. فذكر لهم أحدهما القصة فما كان من عمر إلا أن قال للذي لم يرضى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكذلك؟ قال نعم. فما كان منه إلا أن ضرب عنقه بالسيف فقتله. الخبر هذا بلغ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يستنكر على ذلك على عمر، لأن النبي يعلم أنه لا سبيل إلى الإيمان إلا باتباعه، ومن أراد أن يكون صالح العمل بغير متابعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو مردود عليه، لحديث من عمل عمل ليس عليه أمر فهو رد لا يعتبر. في مسائل، يقول المسألة الأولى تفسير آية النساء. آية النساء هي التي لم ترى الذين يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك إلى آخره، لأن فيها الزعم في الغالب يكون كذبا، لكن قد يزعم الواحد شيء، يزعم الشيء ويكون حقا، لكن الأغلب عليه أنه يأتي في مساق الذم، يزعمون يعني وإلا فإنه لم يؤمنوا. لماذا لم يؤمنوا؟ لأنهم يريدون أن يتحكموا إلى غير أمر الله، لا يتحكمون إلى رسول الله. المسألة الثانية تفسير آية البقرة، وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. فرعون لما تكلم قال إني أريد أن أقتل موسى لئلا يفسد في الأرض يبدل دينكم، والكفار كفار قريش قالوا أجعل الآلهة إله واحدا واستنكروا. فالكفار يقولون إنهم يصلحون مع أنهم يعبدون غير الله ويقتلون بغير حق ويفعلون. ولا المسألة الثالثة تفسير آية الأعراف ولا تفسدوا بعد إصلاحه. آية البقرة ذكر فعلهم، إذا قيل لهم قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون. آية الأعراف إذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا لا بل نحن على صلاح وثقة ويأبى الله. ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خواطرا إلى آخره. سورة المائدة الله ينعى عليهم ويقول هؤلاء المنافقون هم في حكمهم أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون، لأن الذي لا يريد الحق يريد الباطل، والذي لا يريد التحاكم إلى شرع الله يريد أن يتحاكم إلى شرع الطاغوت. والطاغوت كما قال ابن القيم الطواغيت كثيرون ورؤوسهم خمسة: إبليس لعنه الله، ومن دعا الناس إلى عبادة نفسه، ومن عبد وهو راضي، ومن حكم بغير ما أنزل الله. خامسة نسيتها هذه اللحظة. يقول المسألة الخامسة ما قاله الشعبي في سبب نزول الآية، يعني ما حصل بين اليهودي ومن معه من الخصومة ورفض المنافق أن يتحاكم إلى رسول الله. السادسة تفسير الإيمان الصادق، الإيمان الصادق أن يسلم الأمر الإنسان لأمر الله ويعلم أن ما قدره الله هو الحق وما دعا إليه الله جل وعلا هو الخير والبركة للعباد. وأما السابع فقصة عمر. عمر معروف رضي الله عنه وأرضاه ورضي عن الصحابة أجمعين حزنه وشدة غيرته، قال كلما جاء أمر يستنكر يقول للنبي دعني أضرب عنقه. الثامنة كون الإيمان لا يحصل لأحد حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا شك الإيمان الحق لا يتم إلا بمتابعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والإنسان قد يكون مؤمنا إيمانا ضعيفا لأن درجات الناس تختلف في إيمانهم. أحد يكون من ينزلون في الفردوس الأعلى، وأحد ممن يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب، وأحد يدخل النار ويمكث فيها ما شاء الله أن يمكث ثم يخرج، وأحد يخلد في النار الذين قال الله عنهم وما هم منها بمخرجين ولا يخف عنهم من عذابها من شيء، نسأل الله العافية. هذا مجمع فيما يتعلق بهذا الباب، ورحمة الله على شيخ الإسلام. وهذا الباب هو آخر شيء في هذه الفترة إلا ما قد يحصل من الاجتماع إن شاء الله بعد عطلة عيد الأضحى، فنسأل الله أن يجعله عيدا لنا وللمسلمين في كل مكان مباركا، وأن يوفق حجاج بيت الله الحرام لأداء حجهم وقبوله منهم وانتفاعهم به في الدنيا والآخرة، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين، وأن يرينا آثار نقمته وشديد عذابه وبطشه في المجرمين الظالمين قواة سوريا، ومن يعينهم من دولة إيران وحكومة العراق والحزب الفاجر في لبنان المسمى زورا لحزب الله وهو إنما هو حزب الشيطان، وكذلك الدولة الشيوعية الخبيثة روسيا وأختها الصين، نسأل الله أن يجازيهم بما ينيلهم العذاب العاجل، وأن يجعل كل مسلم في تلك البلاد في مأمن من تلك العقوبة، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يصنعنا في القريب العاجل انفراج أزمة سوريا إلى انتصار الحق على الباطل وإذلال وقهر وقتل الفاجر المجرم ومن كان يعينه ويدافع عنه من أهل الفساد والإلحاد والفجور، إنه جل وعلا الفعال لما يريد، صلى الله على نبينا محمد.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى will be explaining in this lesson the chapter of the long verse from Surah An-Nisa. We're going to mention the verse in a second. He began by praising Allah and bearing to the witness of Allah, bearing witness to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and seeking His forgiveness from our deeds. Indeed, the dominion is for Allah Azza wa Jal. For Him belongs all the praise, and He is able to do all things. And then He bore witness to the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the individual who gave the message and fulfilled the trust and was sincere for the ummah, and he fought in the way of Allah a true fighting, and likewise may the peace of Allah be upon the companions of the Prophet, those individuals who believed in him, assisted him, and held the flag after him, calling to the religion of Islam. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from amongst those who love them and follow them. Verily, Allah Ta'ala is the all generous, the most gracious. This chapter is an explanation of the statements of Allah in Surah An-Nisa. Do you not look at those who claim that they believe in that which has been revealed to you and that which has been revealed before you? They wish to seek a judgment to the taghuts, the false deities, and verily they were ordered to disbelieve in them, and verily the shaitan wishes to guide them astray, far, far astray. If it is said to them, come to that which Allah Ta'ala has revealed and to that which the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought, you find the hypocrites distracting you or deterring you from this. To the end of those verses, the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala that these are the munafiqun, that these are the hypocrites. They say they believe in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They claim they believe in Muhammad and that which has been revealed to him. But in fact, these individuals wish to destroy the Islamic propagation. They wish to destroy the Islamic propagation so that it does not reach the people. So they say to one another, and they say to the people, they say to one another, when you're with the believers, say you believe in Muhammad. And when you distance yourself from them, then disbelieve. And they do so to make the people doubt the religion. So when they're with the believers, they say they believe. And when they disperse from the believers, or afwan, when they're with the believers and they're in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say we believe. But when they disperse the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they're still amongst the believers, they say we disbelieve because they want the people to doubt. And these are the type of individuals, they do not want to seek a judgment from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just. And they know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not accept bribery. So instead of them going to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, munafiqun, hypocrites, instead of them going to the Prophet and they're claiming to be believers, but instead of them going to the Prophet, they prefer to go to other individuals. And they prefer to go to the tawaghit, the false deities. And the explanation of the tawghut, he says, everyone who is worshipped anything which is anything, or anyone who is worshipped other than Allah is a tawghut. And also, anyone who judges by other than Allah, anyone who judges by other than the legislation of Allah, he is likewise a tawghut. And verily, Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to disbelieve in them. But the shaitan wishes to guide the people far astray. And when Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this verse, you find them deterring the people, he said this is a mubalagha, meaning they really, really try to distract the people from following the legislation of Allah. And what is the case with these hypocrites who has destroyed the relationship between them and Allah Azza wa Jal? If a calamity befalls them, they try to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a calamity befalls them, they try to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and apologize and the likes. The Shaykh said this actually took place in Ghazwat Tabuk, where they were sitting and they were talking and they were making fun of the Prophet and the believers. So this reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet, the verses were revealed, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. The verses were revealed, do not make an excuse, verily you have disbelieved after you have believed. And they were claiming, they said, we were only talking just to cut through some of the time, you know, to make the journey easier for ourselves. But they were saying statements of disbelief because they were making fun of the Prophet and the believers. Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, say to them, there is no excuse, you have disbelieved. And the next verse, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, translation of the verse, and if it is said to them, do not cause mischief throughout the earth. They say, verily, we are only bringers of good. We are individuals who bring about good. And the Shaykh said, this claim of theirs is false. It is a false claim. And they are individuals that are trying to defend themselves. They're saying that we're trying to cause rectification, and we're trying to spread good throughout the earth. Allah Ta'ala has called these individuals as liars. But in fact, these individuals are trying to cause mischief throughout the earth. Likewise, in the next verse of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Ta'ala says, and do not cause mischief in the earth after it has been corrected. And the Shaykh said that the earth was corrected during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of his propagation, and the people were on the correct methodology. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling the people, and the people were being called to the worship of Allah alone. And because of this, Allah Ta'ala ordered them to stop at that. Do not cause mischief after the earth has been rectified. Affairs and the situations of the earth has been rectified. So Allah Ta'ala is ordering these individuals to fear Him. So they should call on Allah Azza wa Jal with fear and with hope. They should call on Allah Azza wa Jal with fear and hope. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, if the believer has fear and hope, the hope would carry the individual, or would encourage the individual to perform righteous actions. And the fear would encourage the individual to stay away from sin and to seek forgiveness from Allah if a person happens to fall in sin. Verily, the mercy of Allah is close to the doers of good. The doers of good, it took place that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is ihsan? What is ihsan, this word ihsan? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu. It means to worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you cannot see Allah, or if you cannot worship Allah to the degree that you feel that you see Him, then know that Allah ta'ala sees you. Then in the next verse, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah ta'ala said, and it's a question of contemplation, you know, and Allah ta'ala reprimands them, do you want the ruling of ignorance? And verily, who is more greater to Allah as a legislator, to the believers or to the individuals that have understanding, or the individuals that have firm faith? The Shaykh said, verily Allah ta'ala is the most merciful. And there's no individual, or there's no legislation which is more greater than the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And verily Allah ta'ala knows that which is a benefit to His creation. Allah knows that which is a benefit to His creation. But the munafiqun, they are the type of individuals like he mentioned previously. They believe in the day and they disbelieve at night because they want the people to disbelieve. They want the people to doubt the religion. And this was also done to the people of Quraysh when they questioned the Yahud. An example of that, when the people of Quraysh questioned the Yahud, they said to the Yahud, are we more correct or are the followers of Muhammad? And the Jews, they knew that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the truth. They knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truthful in his statement and in his call. But because of their deviation, they said, no, you, the people of Quraysh, you are more correct than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he went into the explanation of the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, none of you truly believes until his desires are in accordance with that which I have come with. And the Shaykh said, the meaning of this hadith is authentic, or the meaning of the hadith is true, that no one can be a true believer until he obeys and follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He obeys and he follows, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned about Iman, and he said to believe in Allah, to believe in His Malaika, to believe in His books, to believe in His messengers, to believe in the last day and Qadr. So it is upon the believer to believe in all of the prophets that were sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla. If an individual believes in Muhammad, but they disbelieve in the other prophets, then that individual has disbelieved in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that all of the prophets that were sent from Allah were upon the truth, and we must believe in all of them. With regards to this hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned it to be authentic, the Shaykh said some of the scholars of hadith say it's authentic and others say it's not authentic. Authentic in terms of the chain of narration, but the meaning of the hadith is correct. The meaning of the hadith is correct. And there's no way that you can believe in Allah and get closeness to Allah except that you believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah ta'ala ordered his Prophet to say to the people, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Allah ordered his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the people, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you for your sins. So there's no way to Allah, there's no path that an individual can reach to Allah except by way of following and adherence to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you mentioned the narration of Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala, and this took place, this story took place in Al-Madinah, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that two individuals, one from amongst the munafiqun, the hypocrites, and one from amongst the Yahud, they were having some sort of dispute. The Yahud, he said, the Jew, he said, let's go to Muhammad. Because they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not accept bribery, and they knew that he speaks the truth. But the munafiq, the individual who claims to be a Muslim, but he's a hypocrite, and he doesn't truly believe in Islam, he said, no, let's go to other than Muhammad. Because they know that other people would accept the bribery. So the munafiq, in the reality, he's not a believer. In reality, he's not a believer. So they went to a soothsayer. And the Shaykh said these individuals were well known from amongst the Arab, that the Arab, they used to go to them, and they used to request for them to judge between them, and they used to have great reverence for these types of individuals. Also, it was mentioned, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that was the reason why these verses were revealed in Surah An-Nisa. And he also said that it was also mentioned that it was revealed with regards to two individuals that were disputing, and one of them said, let's go to the Prophet Muhammad, and the other said, no, let's go to Ka'b bin al-Ashraf. And Ka'b bin al-Ashraf was a well-known individual from amongst the Jews, and he was a rich merchant. But they did not go to the Prophet, nor did they go to Ka'b bin al-Ashraf, but they went to Umar. And when they went to Umar, one of them said, I said, let's go to Muhammad. And this individual said, let's go to Ka'b bin al-Ashraf. Umar turned to the one that said, let's go to Ka'b, and said, is what he's saying is true? He said, yes. He affirmed it. Umar took his sword and chopped his neck off. When this information reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet did not admonish Umar for his action. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that there's no way to Allah azza wa jalla except that you obey and adhere wholeheartedly to the rulings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if and there's no way that a person's actions can be accepted except that he follows the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does an action not in accordance with my will, it is rejected. It is totally rejected if it is not in accordance with the legislation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The issues, the important issues in this chapter, the first is the explanation of the ayat in Surah An-Nisa and the meaning of the word ta'ud. And the Shaykh said that which is mentioned in the ayat, the word za'am, is a claim. And usually when this word za'am is used, it means that it is false. It can be used for a statement which is true, but most of the time it means a statement which is false. And that's one of the verse or the words that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in that ayat, where he says, the individuals who claim to believe in that which is revealed to you and revealed to that which came before you. And how do we know that these individuals don't believe? or what made these individuals not believe, what shows you that these individuals truly did not believe, is because they did not want the ruling of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they preferred the ruling of other than the Prophet. So this shows you that these individuals truly did not believe. And then the second issue is the tafsir of Surah of the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, when it is said to them, "Do not cause mischief throughout the earth." And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, Fir'aun, you have an example of that in the actions of Fir'aun. Fir'aun said to the people, that a person claiming to be upon, they're claiming to want rectification and correctness, was similar to the statement of Fir'aun. Fir'aun said, "Let's kill Musa. We must kill Musa so that he does not cause mischief throughout the earth, and so that he does not change your religion." So Fir'aun was making the same claim. He was making the claim that he wanted to rectify the situation, and he wanted to protect the people's religion. But Fir'aun was, upon disbelief. And likewise, the people of Quraysh, they said the same thing. They said, "Can we believe this man who wants to make the gods one god? Can we believe this individual?" So the disbelievers, from the ways of the disbelievers, is that they claim to bring about rectification, but they worship other than Allah, and they kill without justification, and they do this and they do that, but they do all of this with the claim to want rectification. And the Shaykh mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, it mentions their actions, and in Surah Al-A'raf, it mentions their statements, how they say they want to bring about rectification. The fourth issue in Surah Al-Ma'idah, do they want the ruling of the days of ignorance? And the Shaykh said that Allah is reprimanding these individuals. Allah is admonishing these individuals because they want the ruling of the legislation of the days of ignorance. They don't want the truth. They don't want the legislation of Allah, but these individuals want the rulings of the taghut, the false deities. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that the false deities are many, but at the forefront are five. Iblis is the first of them. A person who calls to the worship of himself is the second. Whoever is worshipped other than Allah and he is pleased, and whoever rules by other than Allah,
لم نذكر الخامس. من رضي بحكم غير الله هو الخامس الذي ذكره ابن قيم.
The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned that at this time he can't remember the fifth, but the first of them is Iblis, the second of them is a person who calls to the worship of himself, the third of them is a person who is worshipped other than Allah and he is pleased with it, and the fourth one is an individual who legislates by other than the legislation of Allah. The fifth issue is the statement of Al-Sha'bi, and that is why these verses were revealed in Surah An-Nisa. And this is informing of the true faith of an individual. The true faith of an individual, or a person who has true, sincere faith, is an individual who submits to the decree of Allah, and submits to the legislation of Allah. And they know that that which Allah has legislated, and that which Allah has called to, is the truth. And verily, and that which Allah has legislated and called to, is the blessing. And the sixth, that was the sixth, and the seventh, is the story of Umar. And the Shaykh said the staunchness and the sternness of Umar was something that was well known. And his great love of the religion was something that was well known. So much so, in many stories you have individuals saying or doing things that were in contradiction to the legislation, and Umar would say, "Ya Rasulullah, allow me." Umar would say, "Ya Rasulullah, allow me to chop this man's head off." Because Umar had a great love and reverence for the religion. And the eighth issue is that the true faith does not happen except that an individual's desires are in accordance with that which was brought by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh mentioned that there's no doubt, in order for a person to have true iman, they must obey and follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh mentioned that the people are different. People vary in their levels of faith. You have individuals who would be in the Firdaus al-A'la, the highest part of Jannah. And you have individuals who are into Jannah without any reckoning. And you have individuals who are into the hellfire, and they will stay for a portion of time, but then they are allowed to leave the hellfire by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And obviously you have individuals who will remain in the hellfire forever. So people vary in terms of the levels of their iman. And then the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned, he said this is a summary of that which has come in this chapter. And may Allah Ta'ala bless Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala for his tremendous work. And he said this is the last lesson that we will be having before the Hajj break. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make it a blessed time. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to accept the Hajj from the people that are performing the Hajj, and that it is accepted by Allah Ta'ala, and it's according to the religion, and that it benefits them in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the Muslims and Islam, and to debase the kuffar and the disbelievers. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to bring punishment to the oppressive rulers of Syria and those who are assisting them, from the rulers of Iran and the rulers of Iraq, and the group in Lebanon which is falsely called the party of Allah, Hizbullah, but in fact they are the Hizb al-Shaytan. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to bring punishment to the countries that are supporting Syria, such as Russia and its sister, such as China. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give them a rapid punishment, to make this rapid. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect every Muslim from any types of calamity or trials. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to bring peace to the people of Syria. And verily Allah Ta'ala is able to do all things. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. The fifth Tawhut that Ibn Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. The first is Iblis, the second is an individual who calls the people to worship him, the third is an individual who is worshipped by the people and he is pleased with it, the fourth is an individual who rules by other than Allah, and the fifth is the person who claims to have knowledge of the unseen. يسأل السائل إذا حلف مسلم بحياته أمه أو جدته أو نحو ذلك في حال الغضب بدون قصد فماذا عليه؟
يكون ارتكب ذنبا يتوب إلى الله والله جل وعلا يقبل توبة العبد. الإنسان إذا قال كلمة الشرك أن يبادر لا إله إلا الله. قال لمن قال والعزة من قال والعزة فليقل لا إله إلا الله. الذي نهى أن يحلف الإنسان بحياة نفسه أو بأبيه أو أمه. من كان حالفا فليحلف بالله أو بنفسه.
By the life of their mother, or the life of their grandmother, or the life in a state of anger, and they did not intend to do so, what is upon the individual, and how do they repent, or how does he or she repent? The Shaykh said this individual has performed or committed a sin, and that that which is upon the individual is to turn to Allah and seek His forgiveness. If an individual says a statement or falls into an action of shirk, then it is befitting that the individual raises to say, La ilaha illallah. Because you have a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if a person says, I swear by Isa, which was one of the false deities, that the person should say, La ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade an individual for swearing by their life and the lives of their fathers and their mothers and the likes. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever swears that they should swear by Allah or they should remain silent. هل يجوز للشخص أن يتعلم القرآن من شخص حالف لها؟
إذا لم يجد غيره جاز ذلك، لأن العبرة بإتقان القرآن، والذي يعلم القرآن هو حالف اللحية يكون جمع عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا على الله يتوب عليه.
Person asking, is it permissible for to study the Quran at the hands of an individual who shaves his beard? The Shaykh said it's permissible if you do not find other than this individual. The point is that you learn Quran from an individual who is proficient in the recitation of the Quran. The individual who teaches the Quran, but he shaves his beard, this individual has combined between the good actions and evil actions, and his hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive this individual. This is a shakhs on the call of the Abi. بأبي أنت وأمي كما ورد في أحاديث كثيرة.
هذا ليس بحلف، وإنما هو يقول يعني أنا أفديك بأبي وأمي، أجعل أبي وأمي فداء لك، يعني لا أنت أهم علي في هذا المقام، ليست بيمين.
The person asking about the statement by my father and by my mother. And this has come in several ahadith that a person, a companion, would say, Ya Rasulullah, by my father and by my mother. The Shaykh said, this is not an oath, or this is not a swear. What the individual means is that I would ransom my father or my mother for you, meaning that you are important than my father and than my mother, not that they are swearing by their father or by their mother. يقول الشخص هل التحاكم إلى غير الله كفر أو شرك أصغر أو شرك أكبر؟
إذا يعتقد أن التحاكم إلى غير الله هو الحق فهذا كفر، وإن تحاكم إلى غير الله طمعا بأن الحاكم بغير ما أنزل الله يحكم بالباطل يكون قد ارتكب معصية كبيرة يخشى عليه من سوء الخاتمة إن لم يتداركه الله بالتوبة والإكثار من العمل الصالح.
If the individual or the person is asking, is ruling, is seeking the judgment of other than Allah, is this a major kufr or a lesser form of disbelief? The Shaykh says, if the person feels that the ruling of other than Allah is the truth, then this is a major kufr. It is a major disbelief. But if the person...
وأما إذا فعله طمعا فيه
إذا حكم بغير ما أنزل الله من أجل أن يستفيد دنيا فهذه معصية كبيرة. يكون سبب في دخول النار علما أن من مات على التوحيد لا يخلد في النار.
The Sheikh said, so if the person feels that the ruling of other than Allah is the truth and is better and more preferred, then that individual has formed a major form of disbelief. But if the person does so because they want something of this worldly life, they know the ruling of Allah is better, but they rule by other than Allah because they feel that they want some benefit, some type of worldly benefit, but they have the firm belief that the ruling of Allah is better, then this is a major sin that can possibly put the person in the hellfire. But it should be known that a person that dies upon tawheed, this person will not remain in the hellfire. هل يجوز لامرأة حائض أن تشتوت من أجل الدعاء وهي تريد أن تدعو الله وتسأله حاجة تشتوت من أجل ذلك؟
نعم.
امرأة حائض تريد أن تشتوت وتسأل الله حاجة.
لا بأس أن تسجد الحائض مثلا عند سماع قراءة القرآن وفيه سجدة فيسجد القارئ وهي تستمع فتسجد، أو هي تقرأ على القول الصحيح أن الحائض يجوز لها أن تقرأ القرآن، فإذا مرت بآية السجود سجدت ولو لم تكن متوضئة.
Is it permissible for a menstruating female to make sajda if she wants to make dua, if she wants to supplicate? She said it's permissible for her to make sajda, to make prostration. In any case, for example, if she hears the Quran and the reciter of the Quran comes to a place of prostration, so she can prostrate. Likewise, if she herself is reciting the Quran, because the most correct opinion is that it's permissible for a female, menstruating female, to read the Quran. So if she is reading the Quran and she comes to a place of prostration, she likewise would prostrate. يسأل الشخص عن حكم أكل البوفية المفتوحة أو البوفية المفتوحة.
لا بأس الأكل إذا لم تكن هذه البوفية هذا المحل مشرعا للرجال والنساء والاختلاط فيما بينهم هذا لا يجوز. وأما عند اندفاع هذه المحرمات فلا حرج إن شاء الله.
الظاهر الله يفضلكم الشخص يسأل أن يكون هناك سعر محدد والشخص يأخذ أكثر أو أقل.
إذا كان البائع أو صاحب المطعم هذا يحدد المقدار الذي يأكل فيه المشتري بقدر معين فيجب الوقوف عند الحد الذي تم عليه الاتفاق.
The person is asking about eating from a buffet. They heard that it's not permissible because the fact that it's you pay a certain amount and the person can eat more or less. The Sheikh said, for one, it's an open buffet. As long as it's not men and women mixing, then it's permissible to eat there. And for two, if the owner of the restaurant has specified a specific amount that the individual can eat, then it's mandatory that that individual stops at that specific amount that the owner has agreed upon and has specified. يقول السائل هنا شخص اشترى بيتا عن طريق الربوي ومن تاب من فعله ذلك فيريد أن يعرف ماذا يفعل بالبيت. يعني شخص اشترى بيت من بنوك الربوية وقد تاب من ذلك ولم يكمل دفع أقساط، وإذا باع البيت فكذلك يكون عليه الأقساط الربوية، فماذا يفعل؟
الله جل وعلا ذكر حكم الربا وتحريمه، وأن من تاب له رأس ماله لا زيادة، التائب لا يهدر عليه ماله كله وإنما له رأس المال، والأرباح الربوية محرمة عليه. فمثل هذا إذا لم يتفق على حل شرعي يباع البيت ويقبض ما هو له وما كان ربحا ربويا، لا يصرفه البنك إذا أمكن، وإنما يصرفه في وجوه بر.
Individuals bought a question if they bought a house, but they're asking about individual who purchased their house by interest, and the individual had repented to Allah and they wanted to know what they should do with the house. If they sell the house, they will still have some payments which are involved in interest. The Shaykh said, Allah has mentioned the ruling as related to interest, purchasing and buying on interest. And Allah has mentioned that the person who repents from interest dealings, they have the origin of their wealth. They have the ra's al-mal, which is the initial payment that they place down. They should not take more. They should not take more. And it's possible that the individual doesn't receive all of his wealth. It's possible that the individual doesn't receive all his wealth. And they should not take any of the interest, the profit from the interest, because that is something which is not permissible. So if they cannot come to a legislated Islamic agreement, then the individual should sell the house, but they should only take the initial money that they spent. They should not take any profit. But likewise, they should not leave the profit with the bank. They should take the profit and they should use it from different types of goods, charities or the likes of that, but they should not take the profit. يسأل الشخص عن حكم ضرب الأطفال أقل من 7 سنين.
لا بأس بالتأديب للطفل إذا أساء بالقدر الذي لا يضر ويزجر على السوء، هذا إذا كان الطفل يعقل مثل هذه الأمور، وأما إذا كان فاقد عقل التأديب إنما هو للتربية السليمة.
Person is asking about hitting the children as a punishment even if they are under 7. So he said it's permissible for a person to admonish their children with this type of admonition if they do something wrong, but they should do it in a manner that doesn't harm, cause major harm for them, and they should do so to admonish them from performing this type of action again. But that is if the child understands, the child comprehends that this is an admonition. But if the child does not comprehend that this is an admonition, then it is not suggested to do so.
والتأديب لا يحل بأن يكون يجرح الجسد أو يكسر عظمه، ولذا في الحديث لا يوجد فوق حد لأكثر من في غير حد لأكثر من 10 أصابع، يعني حتى ولو كان كبيرا إلا إذا كان مرتكبا أمرا محرما شرعا.
الشيخ said also the hit should not cause a wound on the body, nor should it break a bone. You have in the hadith with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you have mentioned in narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that even if you hit a person, you should not hit them more than 10 times, except if the individual has performed a major crime. يقول هل الحاكم المسلم الذي حكم بغير ما شرع الله فهل يكون طاغوتا؟
من هذا الجانب يكون، لأن الكفر ليس بنوع واحد، فيه كفر دون كفر، هناك ذنوب تسمى كفرا. النبي قال السباب المسلم فسوق وقتاله كفر، ويقول خصرة في أمتي هم بهما كفر، الطعن في النسب واللياحة على الميت. فليس كل كفر يخلد في النار.
Person is asking, a Muslim ruler who judges by other than the legislation of Allah, are they considered a taghut? The Shaykh said, in terms of the action, in terms of the performance of this action, yes. But the Shaykh said, there are different types of kufr. There are different levels of disbelief. You have disbelief, which is a lesser form of disbelief. But the action, yes, it is considered kufr. For example, you have different types of actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as being disbelief. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cursing a believer. Cursing a disbeliever is despicable. It's a major sin. It's an evil. And killing a believer is kufr, disbelief. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are two characteristics in my ummah, they are like kufr, they are like disbelief. One of them is admonishing someone's lineage, and the other is wailing over the dead. So the Shaykh said, so not every form, not every action which is considered kufr, means that the individual who performs the action would be held in the hellfire or would dwell in the hellfire forever. يقول السائل قبل ما يقارب الأسبوعين سئلت حفظك الله عن حكم دراسة المصحف في البلاد الغربية في الجامعات المختلطة، فعجبت بعدم الجواز لما في ذلك من شر عظيم وخطر كبير على عقيدة وأخلاق المسلم، وقد أشكل هذه الإجابة على بعض، حيث قد زعم شخص أنه سأل عن دراسة حكم دراسة المرأة المسلمة في الجامعات المختلطة في بلاد الغربية فعجبته بالجواز، وأن هذا قد أصبح من ضروريات الحياة، فكيف نفهم الاختلاف بين الإجابتين حفظكم الله تعالى؟
ليس الأمر هكذا. إذا كانت المرأة مجبرة على الدراسة، يجبرها والداها بالدراسة، ولا دراسة إلا في جامعات مختلطة، في هذه الحالة يجوز لها بشرط ألا تنظر إلى الرجال، وألا تتبرج، وألا تجلس مع أحد. لا شك أن مثل هذا الشرط صعب، لكن أيضا انتهاك الحرمات أصعب. لا يمكن أقول أن هذا مباح على حرج والظروف تستدعي هذا الشيء، لكن الفتاة قد تكون حياتها عند أبويها ولا تستقل بحياة عنهم، وهم الذين ينفقون عليها ويلزمونها بالدراسة ولا تستطيع الامتناع. الإنسان ينظر إلى مثل هذه الأمور بالإمكانات، هل يمكن أو لا يمكن؟
Question. Before 2 weeks, we were was said that you were, the Sheikh was questioned about the ruling on Muslims in the West attending mixed universities, and the Sheikh said it's not permissible because of the evil that's present upon the belief and the character of the Muslim. Now this caused a problem with some, because some were told that an individual claimed a few years ago that the Sheikh said it's permissible for a female in the West to study in mixed universities, and that this has become one of the major aspects of a person's life. So how do we understand the difference in the two answers? The Sheikh said that is not the affair. Now that was not what was mentioned. The Sheikh said if the female is forced, what was mentioned is that if the female is forced by way of her parents, and her parents force her to study, and the only way, place she can study is in mixed universities, then she is allowed to do so. But there are several conditions. She cannot look at the men, she cannot mix with them, she cannot dress improperly, she cannot be alone with them. And he said, there's no doubt that this is a very difficult condition. So I did not say that it is permissible, and that is the end of the answer. No, but what I said is, you have some females who they live with their parents, and their parents spend on them. And in order for her to continue living with them, the parents force her, and they oblige her to study in the university. And she cannot deny. So an individual must look at, can she deny or can she not deny? And this is that which was responded. يسأل السائل عن حد ثوب الرجل أو السروال.
ما أسفل الكعبين فهو محرم. ما نزل عن الكعبين من ثوب أو سراويل أو بنطال فهو محرم. وأما الأفضل أن يكون فوق ذلك. وفي الحديث أزرة المؤمن إلى أنصاف الساقين. لكن المغلظ أن يتجاوز الكعبين، من جر إزاره لم ينظر الله إليه.
The individual is asking, what is the length of the garment of the man, the thobe of the man? He said, that which is below the ankle is in the halfway. It's mandatory that the thobe of the individual, the thobe of the man, is above the ankles. You have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, the izar, or the lower garment of the believer, is to the middle of the shin. But that which is a problem is that if it goes below the ankles, if it goes below the ankles, then this is impermissible. يقول السائل كيف نفهم أنه لا يجوز لمسلم أن يطوف عن شخص ويجوز له أن يحج عن شخص؟
الأصل في العبادات أنها لمن يقوم بها إلا ما جاء فيه الإذن من الشارع. النبي أذن أن يحج إنسان عن آخر أو أن يعتمر إنسان عن آخر، فهذا داخل في حكم أن العمل أذن فيه الرسول مجرد الطواف. لم يرد عن النبي أنه أذن صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحد أن يطوف عن أحد أو أن يسعى مجرد ساعي عن أحد. والدين إنما يتلقى من أفعال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو أقواله أو ما يعمل في حياته، ويعلم أن النبي علم به فلن يستنكر.
The person is asking, how do we understand that it's not permissible to make tawaf on behalf of someone, but it's permissible to make hajj on behalf of someone. The Shaykh said the origin when it comes to worship is that it has to be done from the individual, it has to be done by the individual who it's for. It has to be done by the individual who it's for. If we have that the Prophet ﷺ allowed something, then we work with it. We have that the Prophet ﷺ allowed for an individual to make hajj on behalf of someone else, so we work with it. We likewise have that the Prophet ﷺ allowed an individual to make umrah on behalf of someone else, so we implement it. But we do not have that the Prophet ﷺ allowed a person to make near tawaf, encircling the Kaaba. We don't have that the Prophet ﷺ allowed this type of action. So as long as it's not recorded from the Prophet ﷺ, the tawaf, nor the sa'i, the mere tawaf or the mere sa'i, then it's not allowed. Verily, we take our religion from the statements of the Prophet, from the actions of the Prophet, and that which was performed during the time of the Prophet, and he did not forbade. إذا أمر الحاكم المسلم الشخص أن يجاهد وامتنع ذلك الشخص فهل يكون عاصيا؟
نعم، إذا كان جهادا في سبيل الله وأمر الحاكم في البلد على القتال فإن النبي يقول وإذا استنفرتم فامتنعوا.
If you are asked to fight jihad and you disagree, is this a sin? The Shaykh said yes. If the ruler orders the individual, if the Muslim ruler orders the individual to fight in the way of Allah, and this order came by way of the Muslim ruler, then it becomes obligatory upon the person to fight. And if they do not, if they don't do so, they would be in sin. Verily, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you are ordered to fight, then you must do so. ماذا يقول الشخص إذا أعجبه شيء ولا يريد أن يصيب أخاه بالعين؟ ماذا يقول الشخص؟
ما يقول ما شاء الله تبارك الله.
The question is asking what is the correct statement if you are surprised by something and you don't want to affect your brother with the evil eye. The Shaykh said you would say MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, the will of Allah, and may the blessings of Allah. هل يجوز للشخص أن ينام في المسجد؟
المسجد؟
أن ينام، هل يجوز للشخص أن ينام في المسجد؟
نعم يجوز ذلك إذا لم يجد مكان سوى المسجد، فقد كان بعض الصحابة ينام في المسجد، وخير الناس إلى وقت قريب ينامون في هذه البلاد في المسجد، فلا حرج في ذلك إذا أمن سلامة المسجد من الإساءة.
Person asking, is it permissible to sleep in the masjid? The Shaykh said, it's permissible. And some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to sleep in the masjid. And even in this country, until sometime recently, people used to sleep in the masjid. There's no problem in doing so, as long as the person won't cause any harm to the masjid. As long as the person won't bring any type of harm to the masjid, it is permissible. إذا كان الشخص يستمع إلى القرآن في سيارته وإذا وقف السيارة يقطع الآية، هل يجوز له فعل ذلك؟
لا حرج عليه، إن أثم الآية فهو أولى، لكن إذا وقف السيارة أو كانت السيارة فيها مسجل وهو يستمع فالأمر ميسر لله الحمد لله.
Person is asking if they're driving in the car that is new to the Quran, they stop the car. It's permissible for them to cut, to turn off the radio in the middle of a verse. The Sheikh said it's permissible for them to do so. It's preferred, it's better that they allow the verse to continue. But if they are in the car and this is the situation, it's an easy affair and it's permissible.
الحمد لله على نعمه التي لا نحصيها، ونسأله جل وعلا أن يجعل أعمالنا جميعا خالصة لوجهه سبحانه، وأن ينفعنا بها في حياتنا وبعد مماتنا، كما نسأله جل وعلا بأسمائه وصفاته أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين، وأن يكشف ضر المضرورين ويفرج كرباتهم، وأن يقبل الظالمين المعتدين في كل مكان، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يعاجل أهل سوريا بالفرج وينزل على الطاغية وأعوانه وأنصاره العقوبات الماحقة، وأن يحل مثل ذلك على المعتدين في شرق آسيا في بورما وأركان ما حولها. ونسأل الله جل وعلا أيضا لروسيا والصين وإيران وحكومة العراق وحزب لبنان أن ينزل بهم ربنا جل وعلا بأسه، وأن يكونوا عبرة للمعتدلين، وأن يجعل ذلك في مصلحة الإسلام والمسلمين، إنه جل وعلا مجيب الدعاء. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
Sheikh, praise Allah Azza wa Jalla, and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make our actions beneficial for us and sincere in this life and in the next until we die, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala raises Islam and the believers, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala diminishes and destroys the disbelievers, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala brings peace to the affairs of the Muslims, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala removes the oppressors wherever they may be, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala destroys Syria and their despicable, disgusting ruler, and those who assist them, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bring their punishment to them and to the individuals who support them. Likewise, may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bring punishment to those who are oppressing the Muslims in Asia, and those specifically Burma and the areas that are surrounding it, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bring punishment to Russia and China and Iran and Iraq and Israel of Lebanon. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bring upon them His punishment and make it a sign for those who take the admonition. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make this a benefit for Islam and for the Muslims. Very may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala want to answer the supplication. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may the
وإلى اللقاء إن شاء الله فيما بعد هذا العيد إن شاء الله.
And we will see each other after Eid.